The Necromancer's Fairy Tale by Iliacker, read by X-Manhater. Summary: The Prince of Gusu is kidnapped for ransom. He's saved by a nightmare made flesh. Or a necromancer, his palace of bones, his long-lost husband, and the rise of their dark kingdom. It was Long Wangji's great fortune that his kidnappers were incompetent. He had been lying face down over his captor's saddle like a sack of grain, hands and legs bound, his head aching with the constant jolting and the rush of blood to his skull, for an hour or so when he flexed his ankles and realized, the rope at his feet was unraveling. He turned his head, just slightly. The countryside was a blur around him, but through the smell of sweat and horse flesh, he could detect the sweetness of water, the noise of it moving. They were near a river. He did not know where they were taking him. His kidnappers had cornered him on his journey home to Gusu. He'd been traveling with the smallest retinue possible, only a few knights and archers, and they had been quickly overwhelmed in the ambush. Lan Wangji had been knocked out cold and bound swiftly when one of his would-be captors had held a blade to his youngest archer's throat and offered to spare her in return for Lan Wangji's life. No doubt everyone would say the kidnapping was Long Wangji's own fault for being soft, for valuing a liege woman's life more highly than his own, and for, as always, refusing to travel with the suitable pomp and glory expected of a noble of his status. "You're a prince of Gusu," Lan Xichen always told him, aggrieved. "Not a monk. You're my heir until I have a child of my own. Think of our kingdom." "And you..." The way Lan Xichen always paused. The flicker of guilt in his eyes, the flowering wound of it. "You're not as you once were. All I ask is that you protect yourself, Wangji." Well, he'd failed in that task. It was not his first failure. His whole life was a string of failures, and oh, he wore the scars to prove it. But it had the potential to be his last. The kidnappers were planning to ransom him, but to whom and for what reward, Lan Wangji did not yet know. And the likelihood of his survival. He breathed slowly. Slowly rubbed his feet against one another, dislodging the rope inch by inch. He heard one of the men mutter to the other something about crows circling in dark clouds. The horses slowed. He likely wouldn't have another opportunity like this. Lan Wangji flung himself from the horse. He was almost caught under the horse's hooves. He rolled to the side just before a heavy horseshoe slammed into the ground in the place where his skull had just been. He heard the men swear and rein in their mounts, heard the clank of their armor and the hiss of steel as they drew their weapons. He leapt to his feet and ran. There was a ravine to the left of him. If he leapt over the edge, death was a possibility, a distinct possibility. But if he survived uninjured, if he made it whole to the silver river of water below, he would be beyond the reach of his kidnappers, who were big men in heavy armor, and wouldn't be able to climb down easily after him, not in the pouring rain, not over slick rock. An arrow thudded into the ground beside him. He dodged, going down on his knees as another arrow flew through the air. If he hadn't moved, it would have found its mark in his shoulder. He rose again, ready to propel himself over the edge to the water below, his teeth gritted against the coming pain, when he heard a cry. At first he thought it was a scream. Then he looked up, up at a sky going steadily dark, and realized it was the caw of 1,000 crows, blackening the sky as they flew overhead. The horizon, distantly edged with gold from the setting sun, turned a virulent shade of green. In the green light, 4 figures on horses came forward. Between them stood a man. He was tall, with broad shoulders and a narrow body, all wiry strength and sharp bones, revealed by the ebb and flow of his billowing cloak. His hair was long and loosely bound. In his right hand he held a flute. Lan Wangji rose to his feet. His legs were shaking. Behind him his captors gave out a cry and turned themselves and their weapons on. The man raised his flute. His eyes were as red as blood. He began to play. Lan Wangji's captors were dead before they hit the ground. Lan Wangji did not breathe, could not breathe. A large part of him expected to die too, there upon the soil, hands still bound. It would be, if anyone had the right to kill him, it was him. But he did not die, and the man was walking towards him, the flute tucked away in his sash, the green light a halo at his back.
"Lan Chan," he said.
He smiled, a slight uptick of his lips, but his eyes stayed cold.
"How nice to see you again."
The royals and lords called this man a great many names. The necromancer, the master of demonic cultivation, the Yiling patriarch. They did not call him king or lord or prince because such names were reserved for nobility, and he was just a commoner's son, the scion of a servant of Yunmengqiang who'd risen too high against the natural order of things, an orphaned whelp who did not know his place. But Lan Wangji had never called him any of these names.
"Wei Ying," he whispered.
One of the riders came forward. He wore white robes. His face was unnaturally beautiful, his eyes bound in cloth, his hair crowned in jade.
"Kneel before the Yiling patriarch," said the white-robed warrior.
His pretty face was cold. Lan Wangji did not move. He could not. He could only look at Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian's face, older now and sharper. His long hair. His red, red eyes.
4 years, Wei Ying.
His voice was shaking.
4 years.
4 years,
repeated Wei Wuxian, still smiling joylessly.
"You look the same, Lan Wangji."
His eyes traced Lan Wangji's body as he added,
"Dirtier, maybe." "Your noble status doesn't matter here,"
one of the other riders drawled. A younger man, with a smile like a paring knife and one hand devoid of flesh, no more than bone that moved like a living thing on his wrist.
"We don't care about princes and kings here. As far as we're concerned, you're just dirt. So kneel in the dirt where you belong, eh?"
Wei Wuxian raised a hand. The rider quelled, going silent, drawing back in the shadows.
"Don't worry," said Wei Wuxian. "You don't have to kneel."
He took a step closer.
"Someone was trying to kidnap you," Wei Wuxian observed. "And they wanted me to pay the ransom. My crows heard them whispering."
His eyes glinted unnaturally in the fading light.
"Isn't that strange?"
Lan Wangji said nothing.
"Are you well?" he wanted to ask. "Are you happy? Are you safe? Do you miss me, Wei Ying, as I miss you? Do you hate me as I deserve?"
But his throat had closed over. Wei Wuxian drew another step closer.
"You wanted to be my captor once," said Wei Wuxian.
"Never,"
thought Lan Wangji, but he did not say so. He had told Wei Wuxian so, over and over again, after the Sunshot Wars, as darkness and bitterness had enfolded Wei Wuxian up, as the nobility turned their backs upon him, one by one. Wei Wuxian had never heard him. What would be the point saying so again and being ignored again after so long? Wei Wuxian took hold of his hands, removed the rope at his wrists, cut a length of black cloth from his own arm and bound it, firmly but gently, around Lan Wangji's wrists, over the marks where the old rope had rubbed them raw. He cinched it tight.
"Lan Wangji," he said, "come back to the burial mounds with me."
"Wei Ying,"
he said again helplessly, even though he knew Wei Wuxian intended to mock him, even though he knew he was a prisoner that Wei Wuxian was not really asking. Even then, his foolish heart leapt.
"Yes."
Wei Wuxian laughed faintly.
"Bring them in," he said to his riders. "I'll interrogate them later."
Lan Wangji looked behind him at his old captors. The men were definitely dead. But of course Wei Wuxian did not have to keep someone alive to interrogate them. Lan Wangji had almost forgotten that. He looked forward again and caught sight of Wei Wuxian watching him, a bitterness in the curl of his mouth.
"Come," said Wei Wuxian. "You can ride with Xiao Xingchen."
Wei Wuxian had not always been the necromancer. 6 years ago, the kingdoms of Yunmeng, Qinghe, Lanling, and Gusu had nearly been destroyed by the Dark Lord of Tishan. The Dark Lord burned Gusu to the ground, murdered the king and queen of Yunmeng, shredding their bodies to ribbons. The Sunshot Wars were a bloodbath, so no one of consequence cared when a single insignificant liegeman of the kingdom of Yunmeng was thrown to his death in the abyssal darkness of the burial mounds, one of much larger a pile of corpses to be.
No one but the heirs of Yingmeng, who'd loved him as a brother. No one but Long Longji, who'd loved him in another way entirely. 5 years ago, that liegeman had reemerged as the necromancer, bone flute at his side, traitors of Tishan, and strange, twisted survivors of the burial mounds at his side. 4 years ago, that liegeman had murdered the Dark Lord and consumed his power in a cloud of crows and dark smoke. 4 years ago, the combined might of the kingdoms of Yingmeng and Lanlin and Gusu and Qinghe had turned upon him and his dark followers. They had driven that liegeman back to Yiling, back to the burial mounds. Back, back, until he was no more than a shadow on the horizon, a nightmare to haunt their sleep. 4 years ago, and 6 years ago, and in every aspect and moment of his love for Wei Wuxian, Long Longji had failed, and failed, and failed him still. Lan Wangji watched Wei Wuxian walk between the riders. A crow landed on his shoulder, its feathers ruffled, its eyes ruby red. The sky cleared of birds. Under the moon, his skin glowed like pearl. Xiao Xingchen, it turned out, was the blind rider. They rode late into the night, through forests of dark, lush trees that turned into forests of skeletal branches and rolling mist, of ghosts and the bones of the dead. They rode to a palace of ivory, with the skulls of birds set up on the high-arched windows as decoration, with dark flowers dripping from the ramparts, and smoke coiling, oily and sentient, in the moat that lay empty of water. As they entered the courtyard of the palace, Xiao Xingchen unbound Long Wangji's hands. An older woman approached them. She looked human enough, apart from the way her shadow moved, with far too many limbs. "The master wants you to bathe and dress," said the woman gently. "Do you need a healer?" Long Longji shook his head and followed her. She guided him to a room where a hot bath had already been arranged, steam rising from its surface. The room contained a large bed, a beaten silver mirror, one high window of rose-stained glass. He removed his robes, which were torn and faintly stained with dirt, lowered himself into the water. He lowered his head beneath it. In the liquid quiet, he allowed himself to feel the pain of his heart and the terrible throb of his own body strained by his ordeal. When Long Longji left the bath, he found fresh clothes had been left on the bed. Thin, watery silk of pale, pale gray, stitched with the faintest embellishment of thorns and roses and gold thread and garnets. He lifted a sleeve in his hands and felt the material slip free, easy as liquid. Concubine silk. He felt his jaw tighten. Wei Wuxian was by nature a tender and generous person, but there was a vicious instinct in him that only reared his head when he was faced with cruel men and injustice. Let Wei Wuxian feel you had wronged the world or those he loved, and he would turn upon you, using all your weaknesses against you. His kindness would sharpen like a blade. His hands would grasp your heart and crush it tenderly in your own chest. He had never turned that cruelty on Long Longji before. But oh, Long Longji recognized it. It had been cruel to remind him of his own words. "Come back to Gusu with me." As if Long Longji did not know now what a fool he'd been. "And this... ugh." He swallowed. "Wei Ying," he whispered. Even here, alone, he lacked words. He crushed the silk tight, released it. His fingers hadn't left a mark. "I'm sorry." He could not wear the silk. It was too light. The faintest movement would see it slithering from his shoulders, leaving his shoulders or his throat bare. Candlelight against it would show the lines of his body. It was obscene, and although Wei Wuxian had once seen all of him, known all of him, there were things Long Longji did not want him to see anymore. He put on his old robes, stiff with dirt, and tried to ignore the discomfort of them. He lay on the bed. As he fell asleep, he saw a bird at the window, rattling the glass. In the night, he dreamt of the soft air of cloud recesses, Wei Wuxian's fingertips tracing the contours of his cheeks, his nose, his jaw. The first time they kissed, it had been clumsy and fierce, and Wei Wuxian's lip had swelled from the savageness of it. This kiss was nothing like that. It was soft and tasted faintly of blood, iron sweet. "Lan Chan," the dream Wei Wuxian whispered. "I missed you." For a week, Long Longji was treated with great courtesy. He was, nonetheless, without a doubt, a prisoner. He woke early every day. A girl with pearly eyes brought him tea and food. After 2 days, a guttin was brought for him, and books came the day after. Ancient manuscripts, lyrical tracts of poetry, and historical tomes, stiff with dust. It was wise to accept gifts gratefully. So after breakfast, he played music until lunch was brought. The afternoon was for reading and calligraphy. The evening was for contemplation. The night was for nightmares and restless dreams of Wei Wuxian from a time when they were both still young and in love and unwounded by war. His mother had lived a similar life in the Lan Palace. She had always dressed in beautiful clothes and kept cut flowers on her table, arranged with exquisite care. She had taught Long Longji simple songs and melodies to play upon his guttin, and sewn embroidery into the deep blue of her robes, flowers and stars, graceful winged birds. It was only after her death that he'd realized the care she expended on her surroundings had been her way of making her lonely imprisonment bearable. He'd thought of her method of survival many times over the last 4 years, thought of what a gift her lessons had been. If this was the life Wei Wuxian wanted for him, if this was the punishment Wei Wuxian had chosen for him, Long Longji could survive it with grace. He would rather be alone near Wei Wuxian than alone far away from him. But at the end of the week, the pearl-eyed girl came to summon him. "Master Wei wants you to join him for dinner," the girl said. She looked at his tired robes and wrinkled her nose. "You may want to wear something nicer." He didn't change his clothes, but the girl, Ah Ting, said nothing as she guided him from his bedroom to another chamber, where a low table was set with a feast. Half the table was covered with dishes red with spice, laden with meat. The other half, before the seat Ah Ting told Long Longji to take, was covered in dishes fragrant with herbs, no more than vegetables and pale steaming broth. Wei Wuxian had not forgotten how the nobility of Gusu ate. Wei Wuxian strode in minutes after Ah Ting departed. He shrugged off his heavy cloak, leaving him in nothing but a black robe. There was a red ribbon in his hair. His eyes were mortal again, familiar and dark. Long Longji could not look away from him.
"You didn't like the clothes I left you?"
Wei Wuxian asked as he sat.
"No."
Wei Wuxian's lips quirked.
"Shame. I thought you'd appreciate them."
He leaned forward, swiping a dish from the table.
"I certainly would have."
Long Longji knew he was blushing, his ears burning. He looked at Wei Wuxian's long fingers, the line of his throat, and wanted him with the same endless hunger he always did. He let the waves of it wash over him. They sat in silence for a long moment. Long Longji could barely bring himself to eat. Candlelight flickered on the planes of Wei Wuxian's face.
"The dead men talked,"
Wei Wuxian said eventually. His voice was light.
"Do you want tea?"
Long Longji shook his head. Wei Wuxian ignored him, carefully pouring out a fragrant cup of tea, sliding it across the table to sit before him.
"Their master, who they couldn't name, poor fools, told them they could use you to take my flute from me, perhaps even my Stygian tiger seal. Their master told them I would give anything to keep you safe."
Wei Wuxian leaned forward.
"Long Longji," he went on, voice low, "why have you been telling people we're married?"
"Ah, because we are, Wei Ying."
"A foolish promise between boys doesn't make a marriage," Wei Wuxian said, expressionless.
"I meant my promise," said Long Longji.
"I didn't."
The words hurt. But Long Longji remembered Wei Wuxian's face on the day they'd made vows to each other. He remembered how gaunt and hurt Wei Wuxian had been, how defiant he'd been. The war had not yet been won, but even then the nobility were turning on Wei Wuxian like the tide, ready to slaughter him once his purpose was fulfilled.
"Be mine," he'd said to Wei Wuxian. "Come back to Gusu with me."
"I don't want to be your family's prisoner, Lan Chan," Wei Wuxian had murmured, gaze lowered, angry and tired, so tired.
"No, I... come back to Gusu and be mine. In my bed, my heart, my household."
He'd struggled for the words, struggled to shape the tenderness of his heart, the hunger, into language. He'd always been better at loving Wei Wuxian with his body.
"I don't want to be a concubine either," Wei Wuxian had said. He'd smiled as if to make a joke out of his words, but his eyes had been exhausted, his shoulders bowed.
"But if you'll protect the others..."
"I do not want a concubine."
His hands had been on Wei Ying's face, shaping his jaw, tender, tender. Wei Ying had been so precious to him.
"I want Wei Ying to be my husband, but I will not force him. No matter what you choose, you have my protection," Long Longji had told him. "I promise it, Wei Ying, but this way."
This way, he had believed, Wei Wuxian would be the husband of a prince of Gusu. Prince Consort Lan. Any children they'd adopted would have been potential heirs to the throne. His words would have had weight. He would have had the protection of Gusu to shield him. This way, he'd believed, Wei Wuxian would always be safe. They'd bound his forehead ribbon around their joined wrists, and mere hour later, with a single priest as witness. Now, sitting before the Yiling patriarch under candlelight, Long Longji could only remember his hopes and feel the keen pain of his own foolish innocence. How he'd failed his husband. How he had never stopped ever since.
"I know your Lan rules are strict," Wei Wuxian said, both mocking and gentle in equal measure. "I've heard of how pure and good you've become, Long Longji. People say you've chosen to live your life like a monk, near complete seclusion, prayer, chastity." His smirk sharpened. "You live and breathe the Lan rules now."
"I understand. You think you can't set me aside without betraying your rules. But Lan Chan," he crooned, eyes narrowing. "I don't want a husband who will lie next to me without fucking me."
Long Longji let out a shaky breath. "Wei Ying," he said. "No."
"And I certainly don't want a husband who would betray his promises to me and mine and leave me to be torn apart by the nobility and their arrows and their swords," Wei Wuxian went on pleasantly. "So let me go."
"You make me your prisoner,"
Long Longji managed to say through the pain of his own heart.
"And you ask me to let you go."
"You already abandoned me, Lan Chan. What's one more thing? You let those nobles have me."
His expression was cold.
"After when Rohan died, when I had his power inside me, I hid as we'd agreed. I waited for you. I thought those nobles and kings may turn on me. Even my own brother may turn on me to save his kingdom, but Lan Chan promised he would keep me safe. So I'll wait for him. Lan Chan will take me and my people home to Gusu, where we'll be happy."
Wei Wuxian let out a bitter laugh, high and cold.
"Imagine how surprised I was when soldiers came to kill me, led by Gusu's own men. Your own uncle placed a sword through my chest. In your honor, he told me."
Long Longji wanted him to stop. But he could only sit, sick and quiet, as Wei Wuxian moved from his seat to crouch at the ground at Long Longji's side, his own hands and fists.
"And you weren't there," Wei Wuxian went on, broken and furious. "I wish you had done me the courtesy of trying to kill me yourself. I could not accept being called a monster for surviving what was done to me, for using what I learned to save us all from the Dark Lord of Tishan. I couldn't accept the nobility turning on me because they're too fucking afraid to see anyone but themselves have an ounce of power. I have to live and fight because I can't let them win. I can never let them win. But if you had killed me, it would have been worth it to me."
The words left Wei Wuxian all in a rush.
"I would have accepted my death because I thought you could do no wrong. I thought you were good, but I was wrong."
He'd often wondered what had happened in that cave when Long Longji had not been there to protect him. Knowing hurt, he felt as if his soul had been scraped raw. "Ah, uncle, how could you?"
"I was a fool,"
Long Longji managed to say in a voice that trembled. How could it not when Wei Wuxian looked at him like that?
"I believed everything would end well. I had faith in people who did not deserve it. I was naive and traitorous and ill-equipped to protect you. I was not the husband you deserve, Wei Ying. I have never been as much as you deserve. But I am still your husband. I will never renounce your marriage. If it is my choice, then I will always be your husband."
Fine, Wei Wuxian snarled. Be my husband then. Be my husband.
Wei Wuxian crawled onto him, all dark hair and elegant fingers, all fierce lips and teeth as he kissed Long Longji with a fury that was painful and glorious and broke Long Longji's heart. Wei Wuxian took hold of the front of his robes and ripped them apart with inhuman strength, shadows tangled through his fingers. He pressed his palm flat on Long Longji's skin, then turned his fingernails against skin and dragged. Long Longji gripped Wei Wuxian by the hips and threw him down to the floor. The stone was hard beneath his knees. It must have been hard against Wei Wuxian's back, but Wei Wuxian only gasped and arched against him, dragging Long Longji down by the nape of his neck for another biting kiss. Long Longji kissed him obediently, then wrenched back, bit his way down Wei Wuxian's jaw and throat, rucked up his robes to feel his skin. When Wei Wuxian tried to reach back to feel Long Longji's body under his torn robes, Long Longji grabbed his wrists, pinned them at his sides. Wei Wuxian gave a groan that was so deep it was almost a howl. Long Longji moved down his body. Wei Wuxian was hard, so hard, the cloth of his trousers damp. Long Longji mouthed him through the material, a soundless gasp of hunger escaping his own throat as he dragged the flat of his tongue over the cloth. It had been so long since he'd tasted Wei Wuxian. He let go of Wei Wuxian just long enough for the both of them to fumble with his trousers, shoving them down. Then Long Longji took Wei Wuxian's cock in his mouth, a noise escaping him despite himself. He licked the slick of pre-cum, gripped Wei Wuxian's wrists once more, grinding down hard enough on the delicate bones that Wei Wuxian gave a hungry, mewling gasp and thrust up into his mouth once and once more. He'd always liked pain.
Lan Chan, let me...
Wei Wuxian said, frustrated, squirming all the harder. He twisted his hands pointedly in Long Longji's grip. Long Longji released his wrists and Wei Wuxian reached over the table, fumbling for something. Oil. Long Longji raised his head, watching as Wei Wuxian poured it hastily on his fingers, reaching between his own spread thighs.
It's fine for this,
Wei Wuxian panted, opening himself up. His face was flushed, his eyes darkening to a rich wine red in the flickering light.
Trust me.
Trust him. Had Wei Wuxian taken other lovers in the years they'd been apart? If he had, what right did Long Longji have to be jealous or angry? And yet, he was jealous, angry, still as in love as he'd been the first night he'd seen Wei Wuxian, under moonlight when they were still boys. He leaned back down and took Wei Wuxian in his mouth again as Wei Wuxian opened himself up, one finger at a time. He could see nothing but the cloth of Wei Wuxian's robes, the clench and loosening of his fist against the floor, in time with the clench of his body around his own fingers inside him. Lan Wangji took Wei Wuxian's wrist, held his fingers still, even as Wei Wuxian's hips kept moving, begging for more.
Enough, he said.
Wei Wuxian shuddered and drew his fingers obediently free and said,
Fuck me then, husband.
Long Longji clambered over him, knees on cold stone, his arms bracketing Wei Wuxian's face. He kissed him, deep and worshipful, as he drove his cock into Wei Wuxian's waiting heat. Wei Wuxian was too tight around him for Long Longji to roll his hip smoothly. He could only fuck in slowly, a hand on Wei Wuxian's hip, his heart breaking and mending and breaking once more, as he felt Wei Wuxian's hands on his upper arms, urging him deeper, faster.
I can take pain, Wei Wuxian gasped.
He bit down on his lip as Long Longji shoved in harder until Long Longji kissed him again to draw his lip free.
I can take it. Give me what I want, Lan Chan.
Whatever Wei Ying wants,
Long Longji groaned and fucked him harder. Wei Wuxian gave a punched out groan that mellowed into a soft noise of pleasure, his body rising to meet Long Longji's, his cock hard between them.
You're still my prisoner, Lan Chan, Wei Wuxian gasped out. Don't think this gives you the upper hand over me. Just because you fucked me doesn't mean you finally get to drag me back to Gusu in chains like you've always want.
I'm still fucking you,
Long Longji snarled, and shoved in so fast and deep that the air left Wei Wuxian in an audible stutter. They slid against the floor in a tangle of limbs and ropes. Long Longji pressed an upper arm flat to the floor, using it for purchase as he fucked his husband, as his husband's hips rose to take him in return. He kissed the shell of Wei Wuxian's ear, the soft fall of his hair, the place where his neck met his jaw, where the skin was smooth and warm, and he could feel the song of Wei Wuxian's pulse.
"Stop being nice to me," Wei Wuxian whined, turning his head beneath the brush of Long Longji's mouth. "You know I hate it when you're gentle."
Oh, Long Longji knew. He'd learned what Wei Wuxian liked when they were still young, barely men, and constantly hungry for each other, kissing clumsily at every opportunity between their lessons at Cloud Recesses, the great school of nobility located upon Gusu Land. He'd learned how to bite Wei Wuxian's lip until he whined, how to grip Wei Wuxian's wrists tight or tie them with his own belt, or fist Wei Wuxian's cock until he was oversensitive, panting against a hand against his mouth. He'd learned how to fuck Wei Wuxian then, too, the way Wei Wuxian liked it, hard and deep and unrelenting, until Wei Wuxian was making high-pained, hungry noises beneath him.
"No more, Lan Chan. Ah, no more. I can't take it."
And then he'd learn to continue until either he or Wei Wuxian truly couldn't take it anymore. Until one of them said, "Mercy, mercy," and put an end to the game, curling around each other sweet and exhausted, sated. Long Longji did not know if their old rules applied any longer. He couldn't assume that they did. Nothing was the same now. If Wei Wuxian did not want him to be gentle, he wouldn't be gentle. If Wei Wuxian told him to stop, he would stop, because there were no secrets between them any longer. No tenderness. There was only Wei Wuxian's skin. The feel of him. He still tasted the same, like smoke and sweetness.
"Wei Ying," he choked out. "I missed you."
Wei Wuxian stiffened around him. His legs moved, hooking around Long Longji's own. He used his inhuman strength to roll them over, never breaking the connection between their bodies.
"Oh, Lan Chan," he said.
His voice was a purr, his eyes briefly bitter before they clenched shut, his head tilting back to the ceiling. He ground down hard, so hard that Long Longji's back ached and his hips hurt, pinned as he was beneath the furious hunger of Wei Wuxian's body.
"Of course you have."
Not just for this, Long Longji thought. Never just for this. But he couldn't speak. Wei Wuxian's fingers were against his lips, silencing him. And Wei Wuxian was rolling his hips, a hard, unrelenting undulation, and then he was coming around him, suddenly tight and frozen, silent as he came. Long Longji rolled his hips up once and once more and garbled, "Wei Ying," around the clench of that hand against his mouth. And the clench of that slick, tight body, his husband's body, around his cock. For a moment, there was nothing but the white-hot lance of pleasure running through his nerves. Nothing but Wei Ying with him, around him, his. And then they returned to themselves, as was inevitable. The food was growing cool on the table. Wei Wuxian's expression shuddered. He looked down at Long Longji with shadowed eyes, more cold now than warm, as if he was already preparing himself to push Long Longji away. Long Longji waited for it, unable to brace himself for the pain. Wei Wuxian's jaw tightened. He brushed the hair away from Long Longji's sweat-damp face, placed his hand beneath the fall of Long Longji's torn robe, against the skin of his shoulder. Froze.
"You have scars," said Wei Wuxian.
Oh no. Long Longji felt his stomach drop. He sat up swiftly, dragging the robe back into place in a semblance of modesty. That was all the more ridiculous because he was still inside Wei Wuxian. Wei Wuxian rose up off of him without the faintest wince. His eyes were unblinking, intent.
"Show me," he said.
"No, Wei Ying," said Long Longji.
But Wei Wuxian shook his head and took hold of Long Longji's shoulders, pushed the robe back, back, until it was pooled at Long Longji's waist. Wei Wuxian stood, even as Long Longji remained where he was upon the floor. He had wanted to avoid this. He had never wanted to burden Wei Wuxian with his scars. He closed his eyes. The skin of his back ached under Wei Wuxian's gaze.
"Tell me who whipped you, Lan Chan," Wei Wuxian said.
His voice was winter.
"It is nothing."
"Nothing?"
Wei Wuxian repeated with a hollow laugh.
"Nothing? You think I don't know what torture looks like?"
He touched his fingertips to Long Wangji's back just for a moment, a butterfly wing of a touch.
Newer scars on top of older ones, and all of them deep. This took days to inflict.
The marks would have killed me if I had received them all at once, Long Wangji said quietly. And they did not want me to die.
Wei Wuxian made an inhuman noise. The shadows of the room darkened.
And these?
His voice turned vicious as his nails brushed briefly at the marks that curled around Long Wangji's hips.
These must hurt whenever you move. And these?
Fingers on Long Wangji's upper arms, beneath the places where Wei Wuxian had held onto him when Long Wangji was inside him.
How do you lift your arms to hold a sword?
I do not, Long Wangji said honestly.
The pain, Wei Wuxian said,
and then he went silent, his breath ragged in the flickering dark.
They do not always hurt, said Long Wangji.
Only when it rained, only in the dark, when he dreamed of Wei Wuxian and mourned.
They do not hurt me now.
Tell me who tortured you, and I'll destroy them.
Wei Wuxian's voice was cold, factual.
I'll rip their souls from their flesh, set fire to their lungs and their dreams, bring them back from the dead so they can suffer all over again.
Long Wangji shook his head.
Please, Wei Ying, you cannot. Promise me.
Who did this, Lan Chan? Tell me.
Promise me.
Silence. Then,
it was your family, wasn't it?
Please, Wei Ying,
Long Wangji said again. He lowered his head. He did not look up as his husband kneeled down before him, as Wei Wuxian placed gentle hands on Long Wangji's knees, and said nothing as Long Wangji sucked in uneven breath after uneven breath. He did not know how to speak of it. He did not know how to explain.
Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian said eventually. He sounded so hollow, so lost.
What happened? Please, help me understand.
His hands cupped Long Wangji's knees then, in soft hands.
I promise I won't hurt them. If you don't...
He exhaled. His eyes were still a deep dark red.
I promise.
Long Wangji nodded. Wei Wuxian would not break his promise. He knew that.
I did not become like a monk to demonstrate my purity, Wei Ying,
Long Wangji forced out. Steady. Each word had to be steady. He could not falter.
I did not enter seclusion of my own will.
His own screams. His arms held behind his back even as he tried to keep on fighting. One wrenched from the socket. His wrists in chains. The flicker of light through a window. The pain of his back as he was whipped and whipped and whipped and whipped and whipped and... All these things happened long ago and lived in him still. He raised his head and met his husband's eyes.
3 years of imprisonment and 33 lashes with the discipline whip, said Long Wangji. Wei Ying, that was the price of trying to save my husband's life.
Long Wangji took a deep breath, another, searched for words.
I told my brother where I would meet you, to bring you back to Gusu.
To the bed that should have been their own, with a coverlet made of silk spun in the deep red color Wei Wuxian loved best. To the crafts of Emperor's Smile Long Wangji had procured, lovingly placed upon the bedside table. To the lotus pond he'd planted in the gardens to remind Wei Wuxian of Yingmeng, to make Gusu home.
I should not have.
Long Wangji had taken only his most loyal liegemen and women in order to travel swiftly and in relative secrecy. He had already argued with his brother and uncle. They were not the kind of family to raise their voices, but the argument had been heated nonetheless. Lan Xichen's eyes sad but resolute, his uncle practically spitting bile from anger. And Long Wangji refusing to yield or relent, affirming his marriage and his choices, his hands and fists upon his lap as he kneeled before his brother's throne. Do not go, they'd told him. We forbid you, they'd told him. Wangji, for the sake of your kingdom, do not do this. Not for him. Lan Wangji had not been afraid of what his family would do, had not suspected. But even he had known that disobedience required some level of subterfuge. He had left without informing them, with only the barest supplies, long before dawn. He and his liegemen had been on horseback, on the famed Tianti path that had led to Tishan, where they had been surrounded. The sun had just begun to rise. Long Longji remembered. The glint of armor in the sun. The banners of Gusu, the white and blue and silver of them cutting a scar against the sky. The council of generals, the military and noble leaders of Gusu, Lansichen's closest advisors, upon their horses. Armed. Watching him from the cliffs of the pass and from the road ahead of him. They should not have been able to outpace him, heavily armed as they were. But they had been prepared and forewarned. Even as his brother and uncle had argued with him, they had prepared for his betrayal. They had informed the generals, sent them to stop Long Longji, sent them to see Wei Wuxian dead. "Turn back," the generals had told him. "You are defying your king, betraying your kingdom. Turn back, Long Longji, Prince of Gusu." And Long Longji, his heart hammering, his spine iron, had closed his hand over the hilt of his sword, had said, "No." The first arrow had killed his closest liegewoman in an instant. The others had died swiftly after her, and Long Longji had fought and fought. His horse had fallen. He'd collapsed to the ground in an explosion of dust and blood, the sun in his eyes, knowing he could not win, but Wei Ying was waiting for him, and if he did not reach his husband, if he couldn't... He'd raised his sword. "The scars were my punishment," Long Longji told Wei Wuxian. He could not look at his husband's face any longer. His courage had left him. Instead, he looked at Wei Wuxian's hand upon his knee, at the play of shadows upon the fine bones of his fingers, dancing like the flit of wings. "I defied 33 of the greatest men in Gusu. 33 lashes for 33 generals." He had not thought of those generals when he'd received his lashes, though they had been there, watching him scream. In the days of blood and despair that had followed, he'd thought of the men and women who had served him, who had died needlessly for his sake. He had thought of Wei Wuxian. He had been imprisoned in a dark cell, unaware of anything but his punishment. The whip against his back, the sound of it splitting skin, the grief and nauseating pain. As he wondered if Wei Wuxian was already dead, already gone, and Long Wangji's heart with him. Long Wangji swallowed. He would not tell Wei Wuxian of that. Instead, he said, it was deemed kind. "Kind," Wei Wuxian repeated in a voice like a void. The shadows on his hand stilled for a moment as the air grew cold. Then, as if the world had released a held breath, the shadows moved once more. "Continue," he said. "Please." "The punishment for treason is execution, Wei Ying," Lan Chan told him quietly. "So yes, my survival was a kindness, one my family extended for the sake of placing their love for me above the laws of our land, which demanded my death. The council was difficult to convince. They were angry. My imprisonment was a further restriction." "The generals did not demand this, Wangji," his uncle's voice, as his uncle had paced by his sickbed. His uncle's eyes red, his jaw tight. "But you will not be trusted if you simply return." "It was intended to give me time to repent," said Long Longji. "To outsiders, my imprisonment would be called seclusion. I was assured of that. No shame would be tied to my name or to our family." "Consider it a gift," Lan Xichen had told him, as if his words could convince them both. "Take the time to heal." Some things could not be healed from. 3 years, said Wei Wuxian. His voice was curiously devoid of emotion. He did not tell Wei Wuxian that he had been told his imprisonment could end early, if he would only repudiate his marriage vows, if only he would wed one of the docile women his uncle had chosen for him. If he would only erase the memory of Wei Wuxian and use his scarred and punished body for the only useful purpose that remained for it. He could not have fought for Gusu, not any longer, but he could have sired its heirs. But he had refused. He would always refuse to give up Wei Ying. "Where did they keep you for 3 years?" Wei Wuxian asked.
The Gentian Tower.
Your mother's...
Yes. A fortifying breath. It was not so terrible, Meng Wangji added. Lied. 3 years passed as time does, and I am allowed some freedoms now.
Ah, said Wei Wuxian. And I suppose you're allowed to go out hunting, fighting, you can joust? But ah, no, of course, you can't, because they've scarred you.
Wei Ying.
When you were kidnapped, Wei Wuxian said. Where were you going? I know what you like to do, Lan Chan. Were you traveling to one of the great libraries? A musical soiree? What?
Meng Wangji did not go to distant libraries or musical soirees. Not anymore. Of course, Wei Wuxian understood what Meng Wangji could not entirely bring himself to say. That even now he was nominally free, he remained a prisoner in all but name, released under the watchful eyes of the Gusu court only under very specific circumstances.
There is a healer, he said finally. Renowned, in Minchan. Uncle had thought she could help me to better fulfill my duties.
Wei Wuxian released a breath, wordless but all sharp edges.
If I had known, said Wei Wuxian. If I had, I would have...
Wei Wuxian stopped, pausing as his words failed him. And Long Wangji. He mustered up the tattered remains of his courage and looked at his husband's face. Wei Wuxian wore his feelings like a wound. Meng Wangji knew what Wei Wuxian wanted to say. I would have come for you, or I would have protected you, or even I would have murdered them all for you and crowned you in their bones. But now Wei Wuxian was looking at him, silent now, looking at the torn, dirty robes that he wore, because the concubine silks had been an insult that would have exposed his scars, looking at his face and then down at his shoulders, where the shadows of silver lash marks curled around his skin like skeletal fingers. The guilt in Wei Wuxian's eyes made Meng Wangji want to vanish. Meng Wangji did not often consider how he must appear to others. He was blessed with a face that revealed precious little emotion, with pale skin that did not easily grow flushed, and a body he knew had once been pleasing enough for Wei Wuxian, which was all that had mattered to him. But he was gripped by the sudden, awful knowledge that he was not the person Wei Wuxian had fallen in love with. He was not even the husband Wei Wuxian thought he had just fucked. Now his scars and his history were exposed. Meng Wangji was pitiable. He did not want Wei Wuxian to pity him. Instead of vanishing, of running, he only flinched, just a little, beneath Wei Wuxian's hand. Wei Wuxian's expression shuddered. He released Meng Wangji's knees and rose to his feet, walking away for a moment before returning. Meng Wangji felt something warm settle over his shoulders.
Stand, said Wei Wuxian.
Meng Wangji stood. He was wearing Wei Wuxian's billowing cloak. He drew it close around him, covering his body, his own torn robes. It smelled faintly of iron, of smoke, of Wei Wuxian. He watched Wei Wuxian's hands clench and unclench, rising in front of him. He watched as Wei Wuxian almost touched the front of the robe, which was askew, still revealing the bare edge of Meng Wangji's collarbone. He watched Wei Wuxian freeze and lower his arms.
Go to your room, Wei Wuxian said.
He was not looking at Meng Wangji's face. Instead, he was looking over Meng Wangji's shoulder, expression cold, that familiar bitter curl to his mouth.
You didn't eat. I'll have food sent to you.
Meng Wangji released a breath.
Wei Ying, he said.
I'm afraid I'm not good company, Lan Chan, Wei Wuxian said. I am...
He turned away abruptly, the candles wavering strangely.
Go and rest, he said. Please.
Meng Wangji waited a moment later. When Wei Wuxian did not turn back, he turned himself and left. Ah Ting was waiting for him. She gave the cloak a wide-eyed look, biting her lip. But she didn't say anything as she guided him to his room. Neither did Meng Wangji. He could not speak. He did not sleep well, of course. He heard the sound of birds flying in droves beyond the window, felt the flutter of breath on his cheek, a dream that felt like the shadow of Wei Ying's lips. When he opened his eyes in the dark, he was alone. But in the morning, Anxing brought him new clothes. The first robe, of three at least, he noted, as he lowered them upon the bed, was breathtaking. A dark velvet, a blue so deep it verged on midnight black, covered in gold embroidery. Without thought, he lifted the robe up, feeling the weight of it, noting the stiffness of the collar, the expanse of the sleeves. This was a robe designed for a royal. "The constellations," he murmured. He traced the gold embroidery of stars in orbit with his fingertips. "It is very fine. Where was this obtained?" Ating snorted.
"He had it made for you, I guess," she said, shrugged. "Like all the rest."
Longwangji almost dropped the robe back on the bed. "For me?" She gave him an odd look.
"Who else?"
She shrugged again, then said, "Anyway, once you're changed, knock on the door. I have to take you to the healer."
He dressed in the second robe, a plain blue thing and not half as beautiful, and knocked on the door as he'd been bid. Ating led him to another room that smelled of sweet herbs and something bubbling over a fire. There was a little boy grinding something with a mortar and pestle in the corner. He raised his head as they entered and smiled.
"Ating and Master Lan,"
he said the title as if he'd been coached. He bowed his head.
"Welcome. Healer Wen will be here in a moment." "Can I leave him with you, Ayuan?"
Ating asked.
"I've got other things to do."
"Of course," said Ayuan, with great gravity for such a young boy.
"You can sit, Master Lan."
Longwangji sat. He noticed that Ayuan, for all that he looked like a normal child, had no shadow at all. A woman swept in. This had to be Healer Wen. He rose to his feet and she shook a hand at him irritably.
"Sit, sit," she said. "And take off your robe, I'll need to see the scars. Ayuan, go play outside until I'm done."
Ayuan nodded and lowered the pestle and left the room. He gave Longwangji another smile as he left, his cheeks dimpling.
"Your robe," said the healer. "There is no need to be shy."
"It is not pleasant," Longwangji said haltingly.
The woman gave him a narrow-eyed look, assessing.
"I am Wen Qing," she said. "The only healer in the burial mounds. I have seen every kind of darkness and blight that this place can inflict upon a body. And once I was liegewoman to Wen Rohan. Nothing that has been done to you will shock me, Master Lan."
Longwangji did not bother to argue further. True to her word, Wen Qing did not react when she looked at his scars. She asked questions. When was this inflicted upon him? With what form of weapon? How great was the pain? And his mobility? And accepted his answers without comment. After a time, she told him he could dress once more, and walked away from him to rummage through shelves of herbs. As he waited, she began to brew something in a pot over the fire. He remained where he was. But as time passed, his eyes were drawn to the narrow window and the sight that lay beyond it, the forest of trees of bone, the castle walls pale and bone-studded. Wen Qing followed the line of his gaze and frowned.
"Only survivors of the burial mounds can enter and exit the castle freely," said Wen Qing, watching him guardedly. "And those of us who were once liegewomen and men to the Dark Lord of Tishan."
She dropped something into the brew within the pot. It released a puff of violet smoke.
"You should not wander far if you want to survive."
Longwangji doubted he would be allowed to wander far, prisoner that he was. But he did not have any desire to either. He nodded regardless. Minutes later, she offered him a salve in a glass bottle.
"It will need to cool," she told him. "Have someone apply it to your scars at least once a week. It will ease the worst of the stiffness and pain. But I cannot cure you. The wounds are too deep."
He had seen enough healers since his punishment to know this would be the case. But he bowed his thanks and rose to go.
"Master Lan," she said. "A moment."
He paused, looked back at her. Wen Qing's expression was a mask, but her eyes were fierce upon him.
"I would have expected him to be angry," she said. "He has a keen sense of injustice, we both know that. But he wept, Master Lan. He came in here and begged me to help you, and he wept. I did not think he could weep anymore."
She shook her head.
"We are all monsters here, Master Lan, but we still have hearts. I thought Wei Wuxian had left his behind long ago."
"And yet here you are, her fierce eyes said, breaking it. Long Wangji could only look away from her, strangely ashamed.
The heart and spirit are the greatest tools we have, Wen Ting said finally, when it became clear that Long Wangji would not speak. For strength, for magic. Treat him kindly, Master Lan. Without our necromancer, we monsters will not survive.
Before Long Wangji dressed for sleep that night, he stood naked before the beaten silver mirror. His reflection on its surface was softened, made beautiful by the distortion of silver. He turned a little, looking at his back, the deep, ugly scars. Even this mirror could not make something gentle of them. He reached back carefully with one hand, tracing the raised skin. Wei Wuxian had looked at him with pity. Wei Wuxian had wept over him. He lowered his hand. He did not know what he felt any longer. He took out the concubine silks, holding the soft gray shimmer of the cloth against his skin. Wei Wuxian had bought this to mock him, or so he had thought. But he had also given Lang Wangji velvet robes fit for a prince, blue for Gusu, marked with constellations for the airy land of his birth, but so dark that they could have been yielding black. And there were garnets sewn into the silks, red as the necromancer's eyes. He drew the silks over his skin, tied the sash, feeling the liquid softness of all that silk, like a caress on his skin. Shuddered, biting his lip faintly, and lay down in his bed without fucking his own hand, as he suddenly so desperately wanted to. He woke in the night. He was not dreaming. Someone was in the room with him, upon his bed.
"You're going to be angry at me, Lan Chan," Wei Wuxian said mildly, sprawling over the edge of Long Wangji's bed, his dark hair and robes a spill of ink around him. "Because I can't let you go."
Long Wangji felt so relieved, so strangely, utterly relieved, that he could not articulate it. Instead, he watched without words as Wei Wuxian lay there beneath the red and silver moonlight of the burial mounds, and watched him in return.
"I expect you're tired of being a prisoner," Wei Wuxian said finally, when they could look at each other in silence no longer.
His tone was light, but there was a tightness around his eyes, a fury in the way he curled forward, tipping his head back to meet Long Wangji's gaze.
"But I'm not releasing you when there's someone out there who will use you against me.
And there is. And they're clever, Lan Chan. Clever enough that I can't find even the ghost of a name, and believe me, I know ghosts." The flash of a white-toothed grin in the dark.
"I won't ask you to forgive me, but I thought you should know."
Long Wangji said nothing.
"Ah, Lan Chan, are you going to ask me what happens after I find out who stole you? Won't I release you then?"
His needling reminded Long Wangji of all the times his silence had driven Wei Wuxian, who thrived on attention, the way a plant thrives upon water and light, to distraction. Wei Wuxian had teased him so very often, cajoling and whining and tugging at Long Wangji's hair. "Look at me, want me," as if Long Wangji wasn't always looking at him and wanting him.
"Wei Ying will tell me if he wishes to," Long Wangji said tranquilly.
Wei Wuxian was silent for a moment.
"I should," he said finally. "I should let you go. You deserve to be free. But Lan Chan, I know you. Or I used to."
"You know me still."
"Do I? Well then, I know if I release you, you'll go back to Gusu. You'll let them cage you again."
He rose to his hands and knees, crawling up the bed, curled up on the coverlet at Long Wangji's side, the distance between them both vast and infinitely small.
"If you have to be someone's prisoner forever," he said, "then you should be mine."
Wei Wuxian's hair was so long. Long Wangji wanted to reach for it, curl a lock around his fingers.
"I am yours."
"Don't say that."
"Wei Ying, it's the truth."
Wei Wuxian shuddered. The faintest movement of his limbs, the faintest darkening of his eyes, their red a dying ember in the light.
"The darkness in me doesn't hear it the way you mean it," Wei Wuxian murmured. "This gift that I carried from the burial mounds and consumed from Wen Rohan's death. It hears I'm yours and it wants to own you."
He leaned in, Long Wangji could feel the heat of his breath, smell the faint sweetness of wine upon it.
Sometimes the darkness I consumed, well, it consumes me right back.
Wei Wuxian laughed faintly.
I'm not the boy you married anymore.
You are,
Long Wangji said with utter conviction.
Ah, Lan Chan, said Wei Wuxian. I'm afraid you don't know the new me as well as I still know you.
He smiled once more, rising from the bed and to his feet, in a move so swift that Long Wangji could not reach for him. But Wei Wuxian could not leave, could not wake Long Wangji in the night to tell him he wanted to keep him and own him, and then simply run away.
Wei Ying, he said.
Wei Wuxian froze, not yet quite at the door.
I require your help.
Long Wangji sat up, pushing back the coverlet. He saw Wei Wuxian turn, heard his breath catch. Long Wangji was wearing the concubine silk still, of course. He'd kept them on out of foolishness, perhaps, or hope, if such things were different, and not part of the same stumbling love that made him ache when Wei Wuxian's mouth parted, his eyes darker than ever.
Wen Ting gave me a salve for my scars,
Long Wangji said steadily, even as his heart raced with terror and want alike.
I need someone to apply it for me.
He undid the sash of his robe as he spoke. The silk did what silk was inclined to do and slithered from his shoulders, leaving his upper body bare to Wei Wuxian's eyes.
If I didn't know any better, I'd think you were trying to make me fuck you, Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian said, voice dark and trembling, as if he didn't know if he wanted to savage Long Wangji or curl up against him, vulnerable and small.
We are wed, Long Wangji said simply. It is not immoral.
I'm not sure any nobleman would agree that seducing the feared necromancer who has you prisoner is the moral choice, said Wei Wuxian. Well, they wouldn't call you a monk anymore.
Long Wangji agreed.
Wei Wuxian approached him.
Give me the salve, he said, and turn your back.
He heard the stopper of the balm being opened. The smell of flowers filled the air. After a moment, he felt the brush of Wei Wuxian's hands upon his back. Wei Wuxian traced the scars with the salve, careful sweeping movements of his hands that filled Long Wangji's body with fire. Up, down, he leaned back against Wei Wuxian's hands. Long Wangji heard the faintest groan, heard the salve being dropped onto the coverlet as Wei Wuxian leaned into him in return.
Lan Chan, he said,
in a voice that shook as he kissed the back of Long Wangji's neck, as his hands closed around Long Wangji's scarred upper arms.
You're so beautiful. It isn't fair. How can you be so beautiful?
Long Wangji stiffened. Wei Ying, I am not.
Wei Wuxian huffed out a laugh, said,
I wish you were not.
And then he was kissing his way down Long Wangji's spine, heedless of the balm, which could not, Long Wangji thought, taste pleasant. His fingers tracing lazy patterns against any skin he could reach. Long Wangji turned in a tangle of silks, and then he was sitting with his legs parted, with Wei Wuxian kneeling between his thighs.
What do you want, Lan Chan?
To stay with Wei Ying, he said,
a leap of faith. But had he not revealed enough of his bruised heart already? What was one more thing?
To be loved by Wei Ying.
Wei Wuxian closed his eyes with a shudder.
Ask me to suck your cock, Wei Wuxian begged. Ask me to ride you, I know you like that. Ask me to fuck you or lick you open. But not that.
Long Wangji ran a hand through his hair, and Wei Wuxian groaned, nuzzled his bare thigh, revealed by the slipping silk. Wei Wuxian sucking his cock, Wei Wuxian riding him, Wei Wuxian inside of him. None of those things could have felled him the way the sight of Wei Wuxian kneeling with his cheek against his thigh and his eyes closed did. He watched the shadows shift around Wei Wuxian. They coiled around Long Wangji's legs, clinging.
Wei Ying, he said,
placed a hand against Wei Wuxian's cheek, said tenderly.
Beloved, I love...
Mercy, mercy,
Wei Wuxian said, swiftly, quietly, in return.
He was very still under Long Wangji's hand.
Mercy, mercy. the words they'd both used to signal the end of their rougher games. Long Wangji froze, feeling suddenly cold. He raised his hand away from Wei Wuxian's neck and said nothing as Wei Wuxian leaned back, then clenched his jaw, then stood. Wei Wuxian placed a fingertip under Long Wangji's chin, tilting his head up.
"The next time you need the salve applied, you call for me," said Wei Wuxian.
He released Long Wangji, turned, and he was gone. Just like that. The next morning, Wei Wuxian and his four riders departed. No one told Long Wangji where they had gone. Long Wangji sat before his guillotine and played instead, quieting his mind, which was restless and full of familiar grief. He had given Wei Ying everything and it had not been enough. Nothing had changed. He heard a noise at the door, looked up and saw the boy, Ayuan, looking back at him.
"I wanted to hear your music,"
Ayuan said tentatively, suddenly shy, it seemed, as he clutched the doorframe.
"Ating said, she said you play like light."
"Like light," Long Wangji repeated, bemused. Ayuan nodded earnestly. "You may," Long Wangji said, more charmed than he'd care to admit. "Come and sit." For the 3 days that Wei Wuxian was absent, it was Ayuan and Ating and Wen Ting who were Long Wangji's companions. The restrictions of Long Wangji's imprisonment had clearly been somewhat relaxed. For all that he appreciated their kindness, he missed Wei Wuxian. But that was not new. And sometimes, as he sat in his room, he saw a red-eyed crow watching him from the window, its shadow dark and bloody through the glass. The crows arrived back before Wei Wuxian did, a dark shadow across the sky, howling and cawing, blackness spreading across the castle. Even the skeletal trees seemed to groan and claw the air. The blindfolded Xiao Xingchen, Xu Yang with his hand of bone, Wen Ning, the ghost in flesh, and Song Lan with his strangely double-pupiled eyes. They all remained in the courtyard as Wei Wuxian strode into the castle, boiling shadows following in his wake. The sky was black still with birds. The air was ice. Wen Ting slammed the door open.
"Stay in your room," she ordered him. "Wei Wuxian is not himself."
"What happened?" She pursed her lips, shaking her head.
"Soldiers," she said. "They're looking for you. They say he stole you."
She laughed wildly.
"They say he's made a plaything of you."
Long Wangji looked at her. Her face was very white. He realized she was afraid. "I will stay," he said. He waited until she had left. She had not locked the door. He rose and walked out of his room. No one told Long Wangji where Wei Wuxian was. They didn't need to. Long Wangji followed the shadows. There was no one here to tell Long Wangji to leave Wei Wuxian alone. The residents of the burial mounds had all had the good sense to keep their distance. The ground was roiling ink. Even the lanterns in their sconces carried flames that were dark as night. In the last days before his death, at the zenith of his power, the Dark Lord of Tishan had been more shadow than man. His darkness had been his grand throne and his knife-sharp crown. It had been his sword and the dark jewels that dripped from his throat like blood. When Wei Wuxian had killed him and swallowed his power, all of that had vanished. At the end of the corridor, leaning against the wall, was Wei Wuxian, wreathed in shadows.
"Go away,"
Wei Wuxian snarled.
"Wei Ying,"
Long Wangji took a step closer.
"Are you hurt?"
"Go away,"
Wei Wuxian commanded again. Long Wangji felt the shadows push at him, shove him like a tide. And then just as suddenly there were manacles at his wrist and throat, dragging him to Wei Wuxian, pressing him against Wei Wuxian in a long, hard line of limbs. Long Wangji should not have been aroused. The darkness burst into black roses around his wrists. He could feel something akin to thorns tracing his palms. Wei Wuxian's eyes were like blood, his whole body covered in coiling shadows, his skin as pale as bone. Long Wangji was so hard it hurt.
"They came to take you,"
Wei Wuxian hissed in a baring of teeth.
"They came for you as if they have any right. But they can't have you, you're mine."
Wei Wuxian grabbed his wrists, gripped him tight, then tighter still, then released him.
Leave me here, Lan Chan.
You said the darkness wants to own me,
Long Wangji said.
Lan Chan.
I'm yours,
Long Wangji murmured, shadows clawing their way up his throat, his jaw, with the curious, cunning tenderness of Wei Wuxian's own hands.
Lan Chan.
He leaned forward, brushed his forehead against Wei Wuxian's.
Let it own me, he said, and let me own it in return.
Wei Wuxian made a noise, an indescribable noise, and surged forward, kissing Long Wangji with focused hunger, licking his way into Long Wangji's mouth, groaning as the shadows tangled around them. With skill that would astonish him later, Long Wangji managed to push both their robes aside, managed to tear open the lacings of their trousers and get them both free. They had no oil, nothing slick to ease the way, so Long Wangji could only fist their cocks between them, and that was, oh, that was so good. There was something so ferociously right about holding Wei Wuxian's hardness against his own. He could feel the way Wei Wuxian arched his back as Long Wangji drew his fist up and up and skimmed a thumb over the head of Wei Wuxian's cock. He heard the groan as he drew his fist down. Wei Wuxian surged up, breaking the grip of Long Wangji's hand. His legs hooked around Long Wangji's waist, one hand gripping the sconce of a lantern for support as he squirmed until Long Wangji's cock was against the tight clench of his body. He rolled his hips and Long Wangji groaned at the feel of it, the dry heat of Wei Wuxian's body against him, the way his hole caught against Long Wangji's dick, like a hungry plea.
Lan Chan, he gasped. Lan Chan, inside me.
He was gripping Wei Wuxian's hips hard, stopping him from fucking himself down on Long Wangji's cock, holding him so that Long Wangji was not quite inside him. So Wei Wuxian was squirming and pleading, asking for Long Wangji's cock inside him. He didn't need oil. He wanted it to hurt, wanted to feel Long Wangji for days, wanted to remember the exact shape of his dick. Please, Lan Chan, please.
Wei Ying,
Long Wangji groaned, then ground his teeth, shoved Wei Wuxian hard back against the wall.
You'll come like this.
His hands gripping Wei Wuxian's thigh, pinning it to the wall as his nails dug in deep, bruising him. His teeth against Wei Wuxian's throat, sucking a deep bruise to match the ones made by his fingers.
Like this, Wei Ying, or not at all.
Cruel, Wei Wuxian moaned. My husband is cruel.
You like it when I'm cruel,
Long Wangji said and bit down on the bruise on Wei Wuxian's neck. His husband howled, and the shadows receded back into his skin, bit by bit. Long Wangji could still feel them against his back, like the points of fingers against the bones of his spine, holding his scars, holding him.
One day, Wei Wuxian bit out, I'm going to ride you until you cry, and I won't let you come. I'll make you beg, and I won't let you.
He silenced Wei Wuxian by kissing him again, biting down on his lip, rolling it between his teeth.
Wei Ying, he said when he released him. I'll look forward to it.
He reached a hand between them, where Wei Wuxian's cock was hard, slick. He gripped it in his fist once more and said,
Come for me, husband.
And with another howl, Wei Wuxian did. Long Wangji rutted against him in an agony of pleasure and came a moment later. He lowered Wei Wuxian to the ground. Wei Wuxian went bonelessly. For a moment, he looked so young, radiant, smiling without bitterness as he touched a hand to Long Wangji's jaw. The shadows were gone.
I love you,
Wei Ying whispered and closed his eyes. His head lolled back and he fell unconscious. It took Long Wangji a long moment to accept that he could not wake Wei Wuxian up, could not move him without help, and could not simply sit here until Wei Wuxian woke from whatever strange stupor he'd fallen into. At the very least, Wei Wuxian probably needed Wen Ting. Long Wangji did not know what the darkness had done to him. Following Wei Wuxian had been foolish, and when Long Wangji found Wen Ting, she'd likely threatened to eviscerate him for it. But Long Wangji did not regret it.
I love you.
Ah, he could survive a lifetime of imprisonment on that alone. He leaned down, swallowed, pressed a kiss to Wei Wuxian's forehead, which was cool and faintly damp with sweat.
I love you too, he whispered.
He rose to his feet and walked down the corridor. He turned once more and saw a flash of movement in the distance. He strode forward, ready to call out, mouth parting. He stopped. There was a knife at his throat. "Don't scream," a voice whispered, "and don't move." Very carefully, Long Longji let his gaze slide to the source of the voice. The man holding him at dagger point looked human enough, but then Long Longji saw the mark high upon his forehead, almost under his hair, a scar shaped like a diadem that shone like gold. A survivor of the burial mounds. "I've come to save you, Long Longji," the man said quietly. "But I see you have already been ravished by the necromancer." He shook his head, never looking away from Long Longji's face, his bruised lips, his mussed hair. "I'm sorry for it." "I know you," Long Longji said. The light was dim. He could not be entirely sure, but... "Hush," said the man. "You'll be home soon. Your brother misses you terribly, you know." The man lowered his sword, raised a flute to his lips. A single note sounded, and then... darkness. Long Longji woke upon bedding in a nobleman's tent. He woke aching and weak. Every inch of his back ached as if his scars had been pulled and pared open and sealed once more. When he breathed, his lungs ached. Something had been done to him. He could remember the high note of the flute, the feel of darkness overcoming him, seeping into him, the cold through bone. "He's awake," he heard a flurry of voices, tried to turn his head. It felt far too heavy to move. "Prince Lon," one voice said. "Please do not try to move. You're gravely ill." The figure kneeled down beside him, a healer. The healer raised a ladle of something herbal to Long Longji's lips. "Please," the healer said urgently. "You must drink." Reluctantly, Long Longji choked down the liquid, blinking the haze from his eyes. Faces wavered before him. Lords in heavy robes and jewels, crowns pinned into their hair. Lords of Lanling. One of the men stepped forward. And suddenly, Long Longji knew him. Now that the man was wearing Lanling yellows, now he wore a cap upon his head, high and black, Long Longji recognized him. That man, walking at his brother's side under the trees of Gusu. That man, smiling and bowing ever so demure. That man who had spent the Sunshot Wars as a spy in Wen Rohan's dark court.
"Lord Jin,"
Long Longji began hoarsely.
"Shh,"
Jin Guangyao murmured. There was a darkness in his wide eyes, a warning. "Do not speak, Prince Lan. You're unwell."
"You..."
"I saved your life," Jin Guangyao said. "Took you from the necromancer's castle." He sucked in a deep breath and released it, a soft and fierce look upon his face. "It was dangerous, Prince Lan, I admit it, but I could not simply leave you in his grasp, and my years as a spy made me well suited to the task."
"Let me,"
Long Longji slurred out. "Let me go. Let me go back to Wei Ying." But he could not say it. Jin Guangyao was kneeling down beside him, pressing a fingertip to his mouth. To their watchers, those Lanling lords, it must have appeared like a gentle gesture, but Long Longji could feel the true pressure of it, the sharp edge of his nail. "Conserve your energy," said Jin Guangyao. "There is no need to talk. Rest." He raised his head, looking at the other nobles milling about the tent, who were watching Long Longji as if he were a particularly expensive and interesting curiosity. "I will keep him company," Jin Guangyao said. "I do not think Jin Zishun would appreciate my interference with his men. Better that I remain here." One of the men laughed. "No doubt," he agreed. "Ah, but we'll all be speaking of your heroics when we return to Lanling. Have no fears of that." "I require no praise," Jin Guangyao said earnestly. "Then try not to do so many praiseworthy things," another lord said wryly. Jin Guangyao ducked his head modestly, the picture of a loyal and humble liegeman, as the other lords of Lanling murmured in approval and exited the tent. After a moment, the healer followed them. Finally, Jin Guangyao released Long Longji's mouth. "We're attacking the necromancer's castle," Jin Guangyao murmured. "It has been difficult. He's very angry for some reason. Jing Guangyao stood, swept over to the corner of the tent. Lung Wangji turned his head with difficulty, watching as the Jin Lord kneeled behind a guillotine Lung Wangji had not previously seen. He swept back the gold of his sleeves, began to play. "The healer is loyal to me," Jing Guangyao said quietly, voice mingling with the music. "The tonic he gave you will keep you from running. Don't try and tell anyone how I saved you. I have no desire to kill any of these men."
"You are the one who took me for ransom," said Lung Wangji.
It was hard to speak through the strange constriction of his own throat.
"You are the master even the dead cannot speak of."
"Ah," said Jing Guangyao, still smiling gently. "Yes, I have some control of unquiet spirits." He paused his playing for a moment and touched a fingertip lightly to his hat, where it concealed the diadem of liquid gold limned unto his skin. "I was thrown into the burial mounds and survived, like the necromancer and his monsters. I gained power accordingly, but I assure you I use it only for the betterment of Lan Ling and the service of all that is good and righteous." The music washed over Lung Wangji. His lungs felt tighter. There was a darkness in his music. It was settling into Lung Wangji's veins like a slow, poisonous ichor.
My brother.
"He is well. Worried for you."
A strum of the guillotine.
"He will be grieved when the curse the necromancer has laid upon you kills you," Jing Guangyao went on, pleasant and calm. "But I will comfort him."
"It would be swifter to cut my throat,"
Lung Wangji said. "I considered it," Jing Guangyao replied. "Poison would have done, perhaps, but the necromancer doesn't kill with mortal weapons. And although it would be unlikely for someone to gut the corpse of a prince in search of poison..." Jing Guangyao shook his head. "No, the necromancer kills with dark sorcery. So you must die by dark sorcery, Lung Wangji. To my shame, I do not have the strength to kill you more swiftly. You have my sincere apologies." Lung Wangji was sure that too was a lie. Jing Guangyao had rendered him unconscious with a single note upon his flute. No doubt Jing Guangyao's power was nothing compared to Wei Wuxian's. But where Wei Wuxian was raw power, the kind of darkness that howls and heralds the dawn, Jing Guangyao's was the slithering power of a viper in grass. Easy to ignore, but no less likely to strike you dead. But a slow death meant Lung Wangji could be displayed before the lords of Lan Ling as proof of the necromancer's dread power and depravity. Lung Wangji's death was a tool, a weapon that could be turned against Wei Wuxian's throat. Ah, no. No. "You have been a burden to your brother, Lung Wangji," Jing Guangyao was saying, still playing. "I would never cause my dearest sworn brother harm, and for many years I have left you be because I knew how he valued you. But I have watched him weep over your fate. I have watched him wait for you to grow into a better man. I understand now that you will never be well. You will never recover from your wounds or serve your kingdom as you should, or marry a woman and sire sons and heirs. You will never stop loving Wei Wuxian. You will always grieve your brother. Better that you die so that you cannot grieve him more than you already have, so that he may mourn the memory of you and not the reality of you day in and day out."
"Brother would not..."
"He doesn't know what is best for him," Jing Guangyao said. "But many people do not." More music, flowing and sharp, stealing through Lung Wangji's limbs. He felt a killing curse settle deep into him. When the music stopped, it would remain, slowly leeching the life from him until he died in agony. He looked at his wrists and saw that the veins were black, spidering, marked with the weight of the curse. "It does not hurt to talk to you," Jing Guangyao murmured, eyes demurely lowered, focused upon the instrument's beautiful strings of silk and gold and silver. An absurd combination unique to Lan Ling. "And I'm so rarely able to be honest. You may think me evil, Lung Wangji, but I am only trying to make the world better. I sought to take the Yiling Patriarch's spiritual weapons for myself so that I could protect Lan Ling, make it safer and stronger for all. But when he took you..." He released a breath. "He gave me an opportunity to see him and his people dead and consume his power, as he consumed Ren Rohan's. And now I can erase the taint of him. I can be better than him. He has used his power for nothing. I can use it to save the kingdoms from corrupt leadership. I can ensure no child ever goes hungry on the streets.
as Wei Wuxian himself once did. I can ensure no woman dies forgotten in a brothel thanks to the cruelty of wealthy men, as my mother once did. He raised his eyes, an almost coy gesture. Can you not embrace your death and his with joy, knowing it will save countless lives? Long Wangji's hands curled into fists against the bedding. He thought of how Wei Wuxian must have woken alone in that corridor, without Long Wangji to hold him, abandoned all over again. He thought of A Ting, wrinkling her nose at his robes, and Grandmother Wen's gentleness, and Wen Ting's sharp-tongued barbs as she prepared her medicines, and A Yuan listening to him play music, his small face beaming. His own death did not frighten him, but their deaths.
Please, he forced out. Spare burial mounds, the people. There are children, innocent.
He did not have the air or the words to plead further, and it would not have mattered anyway. Jing Guangyao merely laughed softly and shook his head and rose to his feet with the sweep of those gleaming Lanling robes. They're only monsters, Long Wangji, he said. Don't mourn them. Mourning your own death should be enough. Long Wangji waited until Jing Guangyao had departed. Then he gritted his teeth and turned, began to crawl. He knew how to cope with pain, and he would not let his people die. He was lying down when the healer returned with his next dose of tonic, eyes closed, for all the world half dead. The healer was, as a result, taken entirely by surprise when Long Wangji wrapped a guttine string around his throat and choked him unconscious. Long Wangji forced himself to stand, released the string in the healer's neck. He would not get another chance to escape. He stole the healer's robe and drew it laboriously over his own body. It was overlarge on him, but it would have to do. Forcing himself to breathe through the weight of the curse, he left the tent. A Jin liegeman caught him at the edge of the camp. He could not fight them. The curse on him had grown stronger. His vision was wavering, and the man had to hold him up to stop him from falling. Voices melted over him like honey. He could hear the caw of birds. Wei Ying is close, he thought, and despaired. He was so close. His head was lifted up by a hand cupping his chin. He met Jing Guangyao's eyes. He's delirious, Jing Guangyao said, voice rich with concern and sorrow. Dying. A tear fell down his cheek. He dashed it away angrily. It was a good display. Bring him with us, he told the liegeman. Let us show the necromancer exactly what he's done. The sky was red. The forest of bones was burning, the skeletal trees molten red gold in the hellish light. Beneath the trees moved lumbering figures, corpses, hungry and fierce, clawing down Jin liegemen and women, gnawing upon their soft flesh and harder bones. The Jin liegemen and their allies were yelling, cutting down corpses which rose over and over again to fight them. Between them raced Wei Wuxian's riders. Long Wangji heard Xu Yang's high laughter, the whisper of ghostly voices as Wen Ning's mount wove between the trees. And there, at the heart of the battle, was Wei Ying. He was playing his flute, a high, wild, eerie cry of noise, and the corpses were moving at his will, the crows whirling and falling upon hapless liegemen and lords with sharp and bloodied beaks. A thin veil of shadow surrounded Wei Wuxian, repelling all swords and arrows, holding him safe in its clasp, even in the middle of a bloodbath.
Look what you've done to him, necromancer, Jing Guangyao cried.
Long Wangji swayed, held on his feet still by the liegemen, as Jing Guangyao grabbed him by the throat, dragged him forward. It was a threat, and oh, Wei Wuxian recognized it as one. His plane faltered. A terrible, eerie silence fell as his gaze turned on Long Wangji and his eyes widened.
He's dying, yelled Jing Guangyao. This poor Prince of Gusu, who had always believed the best of you. Dying because of you. How could you do this to him? Defile him.
Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian shouted. His voice was dark and jagged, as vicious as the bloody light of his eyes. In response, Jing Guangyao tilted Long Wangji's neck back, showing Wei Wuxian the blackness of his veins, the death in them.
Even as distant as they were, Long Longji heard the sound Wei Wuxian made in response, choked and broken, a wounded animal noise. No. He was tired of seeing Wei Wuxian hurt, tired of being the source of Wei Wuxian's pain, nothing but a burden to him, unable to protect him.
Wei Ying,
he yelled. His voice was thinner than he wanted, a single note on the air.
Don't.
But it was too late. Long Longji had served his purpose as a distraction, and Wei Wuxian's focus had faltered long enough for one Jin archer to set an arrow to his bow and fire at a rift in the shadows that surrounded Wei Wuxian. The arrow lodged itself in his shoulder. He dropped his flute. Long Longji watched in horror as Jin Guangya released him and reached for the flute at his own belt. He could see now in his mind's eye what was coming. Jin Guangyao taking the flute to his lips and turning the darkness to his own ends, now that Wei Wuxian's control had momentarily lapsed. Jin Guangyao striding forward, sword drawn and piercing Wei Wuxian's heart through the shadows. No one would remember the flute later, only the killing. They would call Jin Guangyao a hero as he smiled demurely. All of Wei Wuxian's darkness coiled up inside him, stolen. Long Longji gave a gasp. Stumbled back, falling heavily against one of the liegemen. The man reflexively sought to steady him. Biting down hard enough on his own tongue to draw blood, Long Longji grabbed the man's sword, turned and stabbed him through the stomach. A bad wound to die from, but Long Longji had not been in a position to make good choices. He stumbled forward, barely able to breathe, but Jin Guangyao was not looking at him. Jin Guangyao was looking at Wei Wuxian, distracted by greed and hope. Good. Long Longji stabbed Jin Guangyao through the back. He withdrew the sword. It fell from his nerveless fingers. His back and arms ached, the scars tugging with pure agony. He should not have been able to take the sword, should not have been able to wield it, not scarred as he was, not cursed. But he had. For a long time, Long Longji had been underestimated. By his family, by the nobility, even by himself. They had, none of them, ever truly understood that he would do anything for his husband, even defy the limits of his own flesh. Jin Guangyao did not make a sound as he collapsed into a pool of his own blood. Long Longji took his flute anyway, just in case. He stumbled forward. The dead parted around him, the birds cawed overhead, and yet it felt silent when he kneeled down before Wei Wuxian's slumped form.
Wei Ying, he said. Wei Ying, look at me.
The darkness around Wei Wuxian was pouring through him, consuming him. Wei Wuxian looked even worse than he had in the corridor, ravaged by his own power. He raised his head. His expression was raw. Lan Chan, he whispered. I'm a monster. All I do is bring you pain.
No, Wei Ying. Yes, I have suffered.
He spasmed, falling. The curse Jin Guangyao had written into him with music writhing through him. Wei Wuxian gripped him, holding him up, and made a hitched noise as the movement jostled his own shoulder. Long Longji forced himself to speak, to say,
I know what monsters are. Wei Ying is good.
Lan Chan.
There were tears on Wei Wuxian's face.
You're dying because of me.
A curse made of darkness,
Long Longji said. He felt strangely calm. In this shroud of shadow and corpse, he could breathe once more.
But no one controls darkness as Wei Ying does.
Wei Wuxian made a choked noise, set his palms flat against Long Longji's chest. Long Longji felt the curse respond to those hands, shifting in his veins and his bones. He let out a wordless noise in response, and then somehow they were kissing in the middle of a battlefield. And it was no gentle kiss. They kissed desperately, furiously, the taste of blood between their mouths, the char of the air in their lungs. Wei Wuxian drew the curse out of him. He felt Jin Guangyao's darkness leave him, felt the void in his soul carved out, clean and flayed. Felt the darkness in Wei Wuxian, that sentient power that had held him in the corridor, like roses and hands, like an extension of all Wei Wuxian's hungers, slide into him with a satiated croon. The curse had carved a space inside him. He saw Wei Wuxian's eyes widen as his own darkness poured into the hollows it had left. He felt the shadow of Wei Ying's darkness inside him, felt it settle like a veil, like the finest silks, over his own skin.
It felt like an embrace. He breathed carefully, gazing back at his husband.
You're carrying my darkness, Wei Wuxian said, sharing its weight.
Lang Wengji let out a shuddering breath. It seems so.
Do you?
Wei Wuxian's fingers twitched against his chest.
I can...
No. Lang Wengji kissed his husband again, deep and thorough. Leave it be. I am glad, Wei Ying, to be yours, to share. Wei Wuxian let out a noise that was half a sob and half a groan and peppered kisses over Lang Wengji's face, the lightest kisses over his eyelids, his cheekbones, his jaw.
Let me kill them, Lan Chan, he breathed. Let me kill them all. Let me make a lesson of them. Anyone who harms my husband will die at my hands. I love you. I love you so much. Please, Lan Chan, let me do this for you.
Lang Wengji knew he should have refused. But these Lanling liegemen and lords were going to kill Wei Wuxian and then kill everyone in the burial mounds. He could forgive them for his own sake. He had forgiven the nobility many things for his own sake. But he could not forgive them for what they had done and tried to do to Wei Ying. He could not forgive that they would have killed A Qing and A Yuan and the others without an iota of remorse.
Yes, he said. Yes, Wei Ying, you may.
Wen Ying carried Lang Wangji on the front of his horse as they entered the castle's courtyard. Wei Wuxian jumped down from Xu Yang's horse and helped Lang Wangji dismount and immediately pressed his face against Lang Wangji's neck, breathing him in.
Wei Ying, Lang Wangji murmured, touching a gentle hand to his hair. Your shoulder.
There was a scream, of joy rather than fear or pain. A Yuan flung himself into Wei Wuxian's arms, crying, heedless of Wei Wuxian's wound. Then he stumbled back and hugged Lang Wengji too.
Master Lan,
A Yuan breathed out. He did not even seem to notice the gentle veil of shadows that had settled around Lang Wengji's shoulders, soft as a summer's twilight. He looked up at him with teary eyes.
We were so afraid for you. I'm so glad you're back, Master Lan.
A Qing stood behind him, her hands and fists. She didn't attempt to embrace him, but she nodded at him, eyes curiously wet, and said,
Don't let them jump you again.
I will do my best, Lang Wengji said solemnly.
You all need to come with me,
Wen Ting said. If her eyes were teary too, they all had the good sense not to comment on it.
Reunions can wait until after I've checked your injuries.
Wen Ting examined them and bandaged them, scolded them, then told them to rest.
And I mean rest,
she said sharply, but Wei Wuxian only smiled and kissed her cheek, which made her swear, and then rub a hand to her eyes again as they left. They went to Lang Wangji's room, to their room.
I want you, Wei Wuxian said simply. I want you so much, but I don't think I can...
He shrugged, then winced with immediate regret.
We're both wounded, Lang Wangji said gently. Wei Ying, just lie beside me. It is enough.
It's not, muttered Wei Wuxian, but he followed Lang Wengji obediently to their bed.
Wei Wuxian undressed him carefully, and he undressed Wei Wuxian in return, traced his fingers over bare collarbones and the tendons of Wei Wuxian's throat as Wei Wuxian bared his shoulders, his fingertips tracing each scar. They allowed their clothes to pool on the floor, then lay beside each other naked. Wei Wuxian kissed him once, then said against his mouth,
When I woke up alone, after saying that I love you.
He stopped, shuddering.
Lan Chan, I can't let you go. Please never ask me to let you go.
Wei Ying, he said, never.
Lan Chan.
Wei Wuxian pressed his head against Lang Wangji's chest, an old familiar gesture that made Lang Wangji's heart ache. Wei Wuxian had always hidden his face when he felt vulnerable, when he knew he had to be honest with Lang Wangji, but did not want to suffer through burying his whole soul quite so completely.
You shouldn't listen to me. You should go wherever you like.
Wei Wuxian's grip tightened on his arms, contradicting his words, and Lang Wangji indulged in the longed-for opportunity to press his face against his husband's forehead, against all his soft, dark hair, and kiss him again.
I love you. He whispered, I will stay.
If you stay, Lanchan, you won't be Prince of Gusu any longer, Wei Wuxian said softly.
I know.
I won't be your prince consort. You'll be part of my kingdom of monsters and corpses.
Wei Wuxian laughed a little brokenly.
It doesn't sound very romantic, does it?
I will be at my husband's side, said Thang Wangji in return. I will help him carry the burden of his darkness. I will play music to him. I will lie beside him in this bed. After a pause, he clarified, it sounds very romantic.
Wei Wuxian laughed again. This time, the jagged edges in his laugh had softened. But his eyes were sad when he lifted his head, when he brushed the dark hair from Lan Chan's face, touched his jaw. You'll probably... Lan Chan, you'll never see Gusu again.
I know, Long Wangji replied. But I am not afraid, Wei Ying.
Why not? Wei Wuxian asked. How can you not be afraid?
Long Wangji looked at Wei Wuxian's beloved face in the flickering candlelight. How can I be?
Even he could hear the tenderness in his own voice, the fondness.
I am with my soulmate. At long last, I am home.
There was a dark weight of grief in Lan Xichen's chest. It settled there the day Wei Wuxian's death was decided, in a long and fraught council between his uncle and the generals and himself. After Wangji's whipping and imprisonment, it set its claws in his heart and never left. He felt it now, almost too heavy to bear, as he rode his horse the last bare distance to the necromancer's castle. Lan Xichen traveled with the smallest retinue he could. It had taken a great deal of arguing with the generals, with his uncle, but he had won out in the end by rightly pointing out that there would be no peace and no alliance with the necromancer if Gusu approached him like an army. And they needed an alliance with the necromancer, for all that his uncle and the generals had ranted and raved at the prospect of it. In the 9 years that had passed since Lan Xichen last laid eyes upon his brother, since Aoyao's death, the balance of power among the great kingdoms had shifted. Lanling's glory had waned, torn apart by infighting. Smaller kingdoms, perhaps scenting blood in the water, had been biting at the heels of Gusu and Lanling, stealing territory like strips of flesh. Only Yunmeng and Tinghe, allied as they were with the necromancer and with one another, stood relatively unscathed. As the other kingdoms had waned, the necromancer's power had only grown, spreading beyond his castle and his forest of bones. What Lan Xichen had seen so far of his kingdom had been unsettlingly normal. The villages his retinue had passed through had been quiet but industrious, the city of Yiling sprawling but friendly, with plenty of merchants and young families roaming the streets. You would not, he thought as they made their way on horseback through the city, look at these lands and believe they were ruled by a monster. The necromancer's own abode looked far more as Lan Xichen had expected. The castle was a cold and ugly monstrosity carved of stone in the bones of the dead. The sky above it was dark, the ramparts heavy with a flock of ruby-eyed crows who rustled their feathers and cawed menacingly as Gusu's liegemen approached. At the gates, a welcome party awaited them. 4 men on horseback, 2 men standing before them, wreathed in shadow that obscured their features, leaving them as nothing but silhouettes. One stepped forward, raising his head. The shadows parted around him. His eyes were red as blood, his skin pale, his hair dark as a raven's wing. When he smiled, a slow, even curl of lips that showed white, white teeth, Lan Xichen heard one of his men cough nervously. The liegewoman to his left was doing a passable job of not recoiling straight off of her horse. King of Gusu, the necromancer greeted. He did not bow his head. You've come. Yiling Patriarch, Lan Xichen said. He dismounted his horse and bowed appropriately. It was the Gusu way to adhere to the rules of decorum, even if others did not.
I have promised to be nice to you, Lan Xichen, the necromancer said, in a tone so sweet it dripped poison. So I will keep my peace. But if you hurt him, you...
Wei Ying, a voice came from the shadows. Stop.
The necromancer huffed out a sigh. Something in his expression softened, his body turning like a flower to sun, as the second shadowed figure stepped forward, the dark melting away around them. A tall man, in velvet robes of blue as deep as midnight. In his hair, he wore a crown fitting for a prince,
a beaten gold shaped to resemble stars.
Wangji. Brother, Long Wangji greeted.
He looked the same. He sounded the same, his voice deep and soft. When he began to draw closer, Lan Xichen realized that at least one of the rumors he had heard about his brother was true. The burial mounds had changed him into something not entirely human. If Wei Wuxian was a thing born from the terrors held in the darkest corners of the night, Long Wangji was the night's peace and the night's quiet. As he walked, soft shadows followed him, thin as gossamer, coiling around him with the faint, comforting gentleness of shade under sunlight. His skin had a faint glow. Lan Xichen was reminded absurdly of the light thrown by stars, faint and soft, distant but not cold, something to guide ships home. There were people in the necromancer's kingdom and beyond who called Long Wangji light bearer. Gazing at him now, Lan Xichen understood why. In a kingdom of darkness, he was a flicker of hope. Looking at Long Wangji was like looking into a lamp that showed Lan Xichen their shared past and all its hurts and its griefs, their imprisoned mother and father, the lessons Lan Xichen had been taught his whole life, from the moment he could breathe, long before he had words. You must place Gusu and its laws above all else, above your personal desires, above your dreams, above love, above family.
You are the heir, Xichen, their uncle had told him when he was still a boy, eyes grave. You will live your life on the edge of a blade. If you fail the generals, they will lock you up as they did your father. If you fail to uphold our laws, you will bring our country ruin. Never place yourself above the law, Xichen. Do not forget your duties. Tread carefully.
Lan Xichen had always treaded with care. It was his brother who had paid the price for that in the end. His brother who had suffered the wrath of the generals. His brother who had been imprisoned and reduced, who had been stolen away by a necromancer. His brother who he had never protected or defended as he'd yearned to. His brother who stood before him now, whole and healthy, with gentle knowing eyes and a crown of stars in his hair.
Brother,
Long Wangji said again. He reached forward, touching his hands to Lan Xichen's own. Wei Wuxian made a noise that he quickly muffled.
Brother, I have missed you.
Wangji, he managed to say. You look happy.
I am, Long Wangji said simply.
And for the first time in years, Lan Xichen felt that dark weight of grief ease just slightly. Just enough for him to breathe, one clear, cool breath of air, and squeeze Long Wangji's hands in return, and smile.
I'm glad, Wangji, he said. I am so very glad.
The end.